Welcome to the Samantha J. Murphy Show, where we talk about life, love, health and well-being, and work towards building a happier life through conscious awareness and positive change. Hello and welcome to the Samantha J. Murphy Show. I'm your host, Samantha J. Murphy. I hope everyone out there is having a great week. Thanks for tuning into this week's episode. If you haven't already subscribed to the channel, please do so that you get notifications of any future episodes as they come out. And lastly, if you get a minute, could you please leave me a review, as your feedback is greatly appreciated. Now, I know I've been away for a while and not done any episodes, but I've been working on some really exciting projects. And I'm hoping to bring those projects to you in the form of podcast episodes next year. So make sure you've got your notification button on and look out for those, because they'll be coming to you pretty soon in 2023. But as of now, we're going to look at today's show. And today's episode is going to be about the importance of animals in your life and how they can often play an imperative part in your general health and emotional well-being. And I think that it's evident through the joy and pain of loving an animal just how much they can have a huge impact on your life. Now, I'm sure that a lot of you out there can relate to this topic, because most of you have had animals of some kind or another touch your life in a positive way. And as a lot of you know, I absolutely love animals. In fact, I'm particularly passionate about supporting anything which stops any kind of abuse of animals and helps give them a voice wherever I can. I also do a lot of energy healing work in the form of Reiki on animals, which is especially valuable in helping soothe any pain and discomfort that they may be feeling. And it was through my Reiki work that I met a little 12-year-old dog called Bentley. And when he came to me, he was really sick. He was like skin and bone, and his fragile little body was just riddled with inflammation. His owners are two of the most caring, loving people that I know, and they had taken him everywhere to try and get him well again. It was just so amazing to me when I worked with this little dog to see how strong his spirit was. He'd been sick for around 18 months, but he was just fighting so hard to stay here to have more time with his loved ones. And with the right medication, patience and care, he started to make some positive progress. He started to sit up by himself and even got strong enough to stand a little. However, a few weeks later, he took a turn for the worst and deteriorated quite rapidly. His body started breaking down and he was taken into the animal hospital. And although the hospital did everything they could for him, he sadly passed away. And when I got the phone call from one of his owners, she spoke to me about his last few hours and how it all transpired, and we were just both crying during the phone call, obviously very sad. But we both knew that he was at least free of a body that had been in pain for a long time. We were all understandably very upset, and this made me think back to my dog and my relationship with him. And as I spoke to other people about their animals, I realised that everyone had shared the same kind of experiences. We'd all felt the same love as well as joy and pain, which is part of the process of having the honour of an animal in your life. And it is an honour, as they give you so much in return for that connection or relationship. And an animal can come into your life in so many different ways. Maybe some of you get a dog as a puppy, or an older cat from a shelter, or some of you are around a horse or farm animals, or have a hamster. Sometimes an animal will choose you. For example, you might have a stray cat that turns up in your garden and it keeps coming back until finally you end up adopting him as your own. Whatever animal comes into your life, you feel the love and connection straight away. And even with animals that have suffered abuse from humans in the past, with love, time, patience and care, it is possible for those animals to learn to trust again and give their new loving human the unconditional love that animals give out so freely. Sadly, it's usually down to a human due to trauma or abuse when an animal is aggressive, possessive, and confused. And unfortunately, anyone can get a pet, even if they have no idea what having a pet entails. Those of you that understand how special having an animal in your life is will no doubt remember the first day that you met your animal friend, and it may possibly feel as if it was yesterday. But for most of you, it's not just a pet. It really is getting a new family member. I remember when I got my dog, a beautiful 11-week-old English bulldog that I named Winston. I tried everywhere to get one from a rescue, but none of them could be around children, and my kids were babies at the time. So we found a person who had a litter, and Winston was the smallest pup that no one else wanted. Everyone was trying to talk me into getting the bigger one, or one of the bigger ones, out of the pups. But I knew, as we all do when we meet our animals for the first time, that he was the little dog that was being specially sent into my family's world. It was a blessing, a joy, and a presence that we all cherished for the next 9 years. When I look back, I must have been crazy at the time, as I had a 2-year-old toddler and a 6-month-old baby, and now a puppy. It literally felt like I'd spent all day cleaning up poop from all three of them. Not to mention the fact that he chewed almost everything in sight in the first 6 months, including my favourite high heels. In fact, one afternoon, I found him in the kids' bedroom. I was met by a grisly scene of Barbie doll body parts all around the room, a head in one corner, an arm in the other. It was no wonder that he didn't choke to death. It was really like having three babies at the time. It was hard work, but we got through it as a family. We got through his settling in period, and he became a part of our family that all of us cherished. He loved my kids so much, I could tell he was their protector, just as he was mine. And I think that is one thing that everyone feels from their animals, the loyalty and protective nature of them. They're never far from our sides. Even if they're asleep, their heightened senses make them ready to protect and defend humans at the first sign of anything being wrong. And it's so exciting when an animal comes into your life, whether it's a dog or a cat that becomes a new pet, or you form a bond with a horse or a cow at an animal sanctuary or any other way. They just accept you for who you are. There's no judgment from them, only an offering of unconditional love. And as time goes by, you build relationships with animals that are very much like your human relationships. You know when they want food, or they want to go out for a walk, or if they just want to cuddle. But even without speaking the same language, they communicate with you, telling you in their own way what they want and need from you. And it's not just that. You can tell when your pet just wants to be left alone, when they're a bit grumpy, or when they're happy and wanting your full attention. And as more time passes, the bond becomes even stronger. Your pet becomes your best friend. With their unique personalities, they bring you joy and laughter and create the best memories. I'm sure you all have very many funny stories to share when you think about the animals that have played a part in your life. I know I have. I remember when my kids were about 3 and 1 and my puppy Winston was probably about 1 year old too. I would take him for daily walks with the kids in the double stroller, or as we say in the UK, double pram. Normally, I would just go out onto the grass patch next to the apartment and just walk round in a circle. But this time, I thought it would be nice to go for a walk down to Venice Boardwalk. Now, I don't know if any of you are familiar with the boardwalk, but there's lots going on down there. There's people on bikes, roller skates, surfers walking out to the beach, tourist shops, restaurants, and a few colourful characters to say the least. Anyway, my stroller had 2 seats, one in the front and one in the back. The baby was in the back in the car seat and my toddler would sit in the front one. And as I pushed the stroller down towards the beach, Winston was quite happy walking along beside me, enjoying the attention he always got when I took him for a walk. Now, this was about 15 years ago, and at that particular time, you didn't see many English bulldogs where I lived, so he was a bit of a novelty. Anyway, we got down to the boardwalk and it was a lovely sunny day, so we stopped at a restaurant where they always left out bowls of water for dogs. Winston drank some of the water and then promptly parked his chunky little body on the floor for a sit down. Okay, I thought I'll order a cup of coffee, give the kids some snacks and let Winston have a little breather before we set off again. 20 minutes later, I got up to go and Winston would not budge. He just looked up at me with his big brown eyes and then he put his head firmly back down on the floor. He was comfortable, quite happy and wanted to stay put. I, on the other hand, was starting to panic, knowing it was getting near the kids' nap time and I needed to get the dog home. So I kept trying to get him to walk, even offering treats, but he just would not move. Time was ticking away and I knew that I had to get creative and come up with a plan. So finally, I whispered into my toddler's ear, "Do you want to do something really fun?" Which he seemed very excited about. So after a few minutes of putting my plan in operation, I emerged from the restaurant, walking down Venice Boardwalk, holding an excited three-year-old's hand with an English bulldog sitting in pride of place at the front of the stroller and a newborn in the back seat who was oblivious to the spectacle around him. As I walked home, I was so embarrassed. People were taking photos of the dog and saying how cute he was and pointing and laughing and, "Oh, he's so cute." And all I could think about was how much this stubborn little git was having a great time with all the attention that he was getting. It felt like the longest walk ever getting back to my apartment, but we got there in the end. And, you know, I've got tons of funny stories, as I'm sure you all have. But as well as bringing you laughter, animals are so important in your sad times and can often help lift your spirits. In times when people feel lonely or depressed, it's a proven fact that animals are a huge help to people suffering with mental health issues. In an article on the Centred Counselling website, psychologist John Mayer said, and I quote, "The animals provide love and devotion without question or consequence, stating that their calmness provides a mindfulness experience for their adult partners." Mayer actually calls this mutually beneficial human-animal bond the pet effect. And to add to this some more statistics, Stephen Feldman, president of the Human-Animal Bond Research Institute, conducted a survey which complements Mayer's statement, as he created a survey of pet owners and found that 87% reported mental health improvements through owning a pet, and that 76% of pet owners said that their personal health had improved since owning a pet. In fact, 1 in 5 pet owners have actually had a pet recommended to them by a doctor or therapist. Now, this is just some of the statistics that are available, but the numbers speak for themselves that animals do seem to have a positive benefit to good health and emotional well-being. I remember watching a documentary that Roman Kemp did called Our Silent Emergency, and he was talking to a guy who had attempted suicide. And when Roman asked him what turned things around for him, the guy explained that his friend was going to get a puppy and suggested to him the idea about getting a puppy too. He said yes and got the puppy. And at that point, his life began to turn around. He said that he had a reason to get up in the morning and someone to talk to, even though there was no talking back. But what he did get in return was unconditional love and no judgment. He then went on to graduate from university and open up to his family about what a dark time he'd had and what he'd been through, and now his life is in a great place. Here in California, animals that help people going through mental health issues or even serious physical health issues are called emotional support animals, because it's widely recognised by the medical profession that animals offer love, comfort, support, boosts self-esteem, and often aids people on their road to recovery. Another thing about animals is that they can really help people open up emotionally. Some people have trouble showing their emotions. Men in particular find it especially hard to express emotions to another human being. Yet give them a cat or dog to love and you see a whole nother side of them. They're smitten, openly giving their animal lots of cuddles and kisses and talking to them with no inhibitions, and they quickly become best friends. And I think a reason for this may be because there is no judgment or expectation from a pet. They just love you unconditionally and accept you for who you are, regardless of what internal issues you may be having. Animals are also specially trained to help people with particular health issues, such as leading the blind or raising the alert if their owner has a seizure. And one dog I actually saw was trained to put his head under his owner's head when she was having a seizure to stop her banging her head on a hard floor and causing injury, which is pretty amazing. Centred Counselling's article reported that animal-assisted therapy can also help dealing with PTSD and even help children that are diagnosed with ADHD. Also, when my kids were little, there were organisations that were involved with canine-assisted reading programs, such as Bark. The Bark team used to bring in dogs that the kids would read to help the kids practice their reading. It was so cool to see these lovely dogs just sitting there listening, and it certainly was a brilliant incentive to get kids to enjoy reading. I know my kids really looked forward to those sessions at school. It really is amazing how animals help you in so many ways. They're with you through the good times and the bad, and the attachment and love that grows between you and them becomes so strong that they become your best friend, your family, your rock, and in some cases, your lifesaver. And you wish that they could live as long as you do. But in most cases, they don't. If a dog gets to around 15, 17, he's had a good long life in dog years. And if a cat gets to 20, it's the same. Although, of course, some do live longer than that. But I think the oldest cat that's around at the moment is about 30 years old. But of course, that is pretty unusual. But as they get to their senior years, every day becomes even more precious. And although in your heart you know that that final day is drawing closer, you just push that thought to the back of your mind because it's too painful to even contemplate. For all the love, joy, laughter and happiness that your furry friends give you, in most cases it's normally you who has to say goodbye to them first, and it's you that is left behind, broken-hearted. When the day comes, you're never prepared. Even if your animal's been sick, you just keep trying medications, remedies, supplements, and even surgery to try and keep your furry friend around for as long as possible. You're never ready to let go, even if they are. All of the dogs that I have performed Reiki on never cease to amaze me, just how youthful their spirits still are, even when their bodies have grown old and clearly worn out. But you just can't help but hold on to that youthful spirit, hoping that it will grant you a little bit more time together. But the day does come when you have to make a heartbreaking decision to help release your furry friends from their pain, or they just slip away by themselves. I remember my dog had been sick for about 3 months. The vet told me that he had kidney failure and that medications may give him a bit more time, but not much. I didn't want to face it, so I guess I was in a bit of denial. But deep down I knew it wasn't looking good. He was losing weight. I could see something was wrong. And I just prayed that he would go peacefully and that I wouldn't have to decide when it was time. I also prayed that the kids, who were then 12 and 10, would not have to be there to witness his passing. I couldn't even think about having that conversation with them. It was a Saturday night and I was at home with one of my friends. The kids were away with their dad. And Winston started having a seizure. I didn't know what to do, so I just held him and told him how much I loved him and said everything else that I wanted to say, as I thought that this was it, this was the end. I did some Reiki on him and we put on a random guided meditation. And then he stopped shaking and calmly sat and listened to the meditation. Ironically, the meditation was about transitioning to the other side. It was a guy I used to listen to regularly and whom Winston would listen to too, so I guess it gave him familiar comfort. He just sat there, back to normal, and I breathed a sigh of relief that he was okay. I kissed him goodnight and went to bed. And the next morning when I got up, I walked out to see him laying in his normal sleeping position. But in my heart, I knew he wasn't asleep. I knew he was gone. He'd waited for me to leave and slipped away peacefully as I'd asked for. Maybe they're trying to spare you the pain of that final moment. Or maybe they are ready to go, but they know that you won't let them go and that you'll just keep fighting to keep them alive with more medications or procedures. But for other people, they want and need to be there and share those final moments until the very end and even stay with their animals for some time after. Either way, the moment is so final, so heartbreaking and hard to believe that your life will be different and emptier from this day onwards. When you lose your animal, you go through the same kind of grieving that you do when you lose a human. It's a process. It takes time. You may be in denial, be sad, angry, depressed. So many emotions going through your head as you try and get used to the gaping hole in your heart that just hurts like hell. Some people who are not animal lovers may not understand this, and I would say to anyone who has recently lost a pet, surround yourself with people who know how you feel and understand the depth of the pain that you are going through. Don't bottle up the pain, cry and let it out. I cried so much when my dog died, and I cried every time I spoke about him for a long time after he died. I felt as if someone had torn my heart out of my chest and stamped on it. The pain felt enormous, the sadness constant, and the emptiness unbearable. I noticed after my dog died that I would get little signs, which I strongly believe were from his soul letting me know he was okay. But don't ignore the signs, because in the long run it will give you comfort knowing that they're always around you. A day after my dog died, I was out in the car at traffic lights with my daughter, and she pointed out, "Look, Mum, that dog looks exactly the same as Winston," as he walked across the road ahead of us. And he was absolutely identical. It was uncanny. Exactly the same colour and markings. And I thought to myself, this dog reminded me of how Winston used to be before he got sick, and it gave me comfort and reminded me that he wasn't suffering anymore. Other signs, you might see something with your dog's name on, like Winston Dry Cleaning Services, or as my friend who lost Bentley said, she saw a movie and there was a dog in it called Bentley that was sick, and she said it made her cry. And this was something that she'd not allowed herself to do properly since his passing. And I believe that this emotional sign was Bentley trying to help her through her grieving process to let it out instead of bottling it up, because that was exactly what she was doing. She'd been ignoring the smaller signs that she'd been getting previously and therefore holding herself back and not allowing herself to move through the grieving process. For the first couple of days after my dog's death, I got up and opened his dog food, put it down to feed him, and then realised he was no longer there. Sounds really silly, doesn't it? But that's what I've been doing for 9 years, every morning. So not doing it felt alien to me. I'd look at the giant bean bag and remember when he had battled me for it, even though he was not allowed on it. I would put chairs and boxes on it when I'd go to work and come home, and he was still sitting there in the middle of it amongst the boxes and the chairs. I just caved in the end and gave it to him. And he spent hours stretched out across it, and it just didn't look right without him stretched across it now. It's such a weird feeling, and it takes time to adjust to the absence of your furry friend, because you're so used to them always being there. Some people say that they'd never get another animal again after losing a pet, And I think that that is especially the case in the first few months or even a couple of years after a pet passes away. Often for some people, the pain of the loss is so great that it makes them never want to go through that again. However, other people find the best way to help heal is to get another pet pretty soon after their pet passes away. And although you never forget the animals that have gone, a new furry friend can help ease the pain as you begin to love again. I was adamant for quite some time that I would never get another animal, as I just didn't want to go through that heartache again. And then one day, about 18 months after my dog died, I said to my friend, "I feel like I'm meant to get a cat." And we both laughed, as I hadn't had a cat since I was a teenager. And I guess I actually considered myself more of a dog person at the time. But about a week later, I opened up Facebook, and at the top of my feed, there was one of my friends with four kittens, one grey and three white. A stray cat had given birth under a bush at the bottom of her garden. And I found myself typing a message to her, "I'll take the grey one." My head was saying, "What the hell are you doing?" But my heart clearly knew something else. 8 weeks later, we got our little kitten. And though I was apprehensive whether I'd made the right decision, within an hour or two, I knew I had. 2 years later, I decided to help out by offering to foster during the pandemic, as so many kittens were in need of foster homes. I got the call to ask if I could foster a small black kitten that was so tiny she was bordering on skin and bone. I said yes, and again within an hour she'd won the whole family over and we adopted her from the Animal Foundation. To this day, my two cats are my absolute world, and I could never imagine my life without them. Even though I do understand that one day that will eventually happen. But I think you do find a way to accept the sad part, because the happy part of joy and unconditional love, for as long as they are with you, makes it so worthwhile. When I got my cats, I realised that I could love again. And I'm so glad that I did, because realistically, nothing lasts forever. The key is to enjoy the time that you have together, for however long that may be. And even though your animal may leave you physically, you will always have such wonderful memories of him or her to treasure. Some of you may find comfort in keeping your animal's ashes in a special place so that they're always close by you. And some people even get tattoos. The thing is that everyone's different, and you have to find a way, whatever works for you, that gives you comfort in such a sad time. Now, I know that there are some people that may think that this is all nonsense about connecting with animals on a deeper level, and I know that some people do not connect with animals this way at all. They treat them like objects with no emotional attachment, and I respect that is where they are at, and that there are even some people who are not animal lovers in the slightest. But it's clear for those of you that do have that special connection with animals, the joy and love and benefits are many. And the evidence is there to back it up, that animals are good for our emotional and mental well-being. And they bring much happiness to so many of us. So on that note, I just want to leave you with a final thought. As it is the holiday season, and it's that time of year again when we get caught up in the spirit of the Christmas holiday season. And it's often times when people think about getting a puppy or kitten for a Christmas holiday present, and they think it's a lovely idea. But more often than not, we see a surge in buying or adopting an animal at this time, only to see that a couple of months after the holidays, these same animals find themselves unwanted and in a shelter as the novelty of a Christmas holiday pet has worn off. I just want to remind everyone that an animal is not an accessory. He or she becomes a family member. And when you allow them into your life, an animal will grow attached to you, trust you, and is equally devastated like a human being at being abandoned and put into a shelter, to be alone or possibly face death. So please, please think it through before you get a pet. Are you ready to commit to an animal, to give them love, to get through the chewing and toilet training process, to have patience while they settle into their new surroundings, to be financially prepared for any vet costs, to give them your time, and to commit to an animal for the rest of his or her life that could be 15 to 20 years, no matter how much your own life changes. If you cannot answer yes to all of these questions, then you're not ready. And it's probably best if you go to Amazon and buy your Christmas holiday gifts there instead. Because a pet is for life, not just for the holiday season. Anyway, that's the end of the episode today. Happy holidays to all of you. And I want to dedicate this episode to Bentley, Winston, and all of the animals that are no longer here with us in the physical world, but have touched our hearts in some way or another. And I'll be back soon with a new episode. Thanks for listening. Until next time, bye for now.